scripture today is out of Revelation 22, selected scriptures. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Surely, I am coming soon. This is God's holy word. You may be seated.
I brought a book to read to you. It's called the Bible. You know, we've been talking about the first days over the last month. And the question Jared's asked us each and every week is, if Jesus was not part of your Christmas, what would it be like? You should be able to answer that today because you've already passed Christmas. We talked about the genealogy of Christ in Matthew. We talked about Mary's song in Luke chapter 1 about her visiting Elizabeth. And then we talked about Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and how his part played in the preparation of Christ's coming. And then we talked about Anna and Simeon, as God had promised that they would see the Lord. Matthew, written to the Jewish people about Jesus as king. Mark, the immediateness of Christ and his humanness. Luke, answered our questions, continually answers our questions, awakens our hearts, and leads us in faith. And then John, a book of theology and the deity of Jesus. He is God. Salvation came in a person, not in a performance. It's so important that we realize that. It came in the person of Jesus Christ, not in anything you can do, not in anything that I can do. The last days, Revelation 22. Now, Jared only read the part that Jesus spoke, but I'm going to try in my time here to do the entire chapter. I know I won't do it total justice, but I wanted to go through the other part here that I feel is so important to us. Verse 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Through the middle of the city, of the streets of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. He says the river is crystal, pure. It is the thought that we will have in heaven plenty to drink. Now, you may not have lived in a desert area, but if you live in a desert area, that's one of the things you do worry about. Having plenty to eat and also plenty to drink, but also plenty pure, clean water. So it is a emphasis upon the plentifulness of the supply that God has for us. It's not anything we'll want for in heaven. Not anything at all. Then he talks about the tree of life. And it bears 12 fruits. Now, the idea of the tree covers the whole river that's flowing through. And it could be said that the tree is actually many trees that line the river. And that they have fruit for each month. So there will be time in heaven, but we won't be bound by time. The tree of life was in the garden. You remember Adam and Eve were in the garden and sinned against God. The amazing thing I find when I go back to Genesis and read the first three chapters is that God put two trees in the center of the garden. He put the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they did. But to see, the tree of life was still in the garden. That's why God had to put us out of the garden. That's why he took them out of the garden, is because had they, in the state that they were in their sin, eaten of the tree of life, they would have been that way forever. But God now is now putting the tree of life where we can get to it, where we can have a part of that tree, the tree of eternal life. The leaves, it says, are there for the healing of the nation. If you look at that word healing, it is actually a transliteration of the word therapeutic. And it's not just for the healing, but the health giving. The tree of life is there with the different fruits for the health giving so that we can serve and minister. It gives us the strength to serve and minister. You see, heaven is not a place where we are necessarily ministered to, a place where we will be ministers. We will be servants. Then chapter 22, verses 3 and 5. This is what it will be like and what the saints will do. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. There will be no more curse. What is the curse? The curse came in Genesis after they ate. The curse of the sorrow and pain in childbirth. The curse of the friction between male and female. The curse of hard work. The curse of death. It says there'll be no more. They'll be replaced by the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. All of that that we suffer through today will be gone. The curse will be taken away. And then it says, his servants will worship him. Now, who are his servants? The saints. We are. And it says, we'll worship him. And really, worship is a way of saying we will minister to him. We will serve him. We will be servants who are serving. Not like it is today, not like it was. Not like a servant today who hates the toil and hates what they're doing. But it'll be a blessing to us. It'll be a joy to us. And then he says that we will see his face. Now remember, Moses didn't get to see his face. No one has seen his face, but even in the song a while ago, we talked about seeing his face. And when we see his face, it's going to be the intimacy of knowing who Christ is. Now we see, as the scripture says, darkly, as a mirror. But then we'll see face to face. And it won't only be the physical part of it, but it'll be a spiritual part. We will understand Jesus. We will see his face. We will see within him. It'll be a spiritual awakening to us to be able to know the true heart of God. So we will see his face, and we will be with him and reign forever. So we shall be a part of his kingdom forever. His name will be on our forehead. We will be his possession forever. We will be identified as God's people. No more light, no more darkness. No need for a candle. No need for the sun. God will be our light. We will have no need for anything. It'll all be provided for us. I remember the other night when we had some thunderstorms and lightning. One of the main things my wife said is, make sure you take that little flashlight back in the bedroom. We worry about it today, but we'll not worry about it in heaven. Genesis began with paradise lost. We're going to end up with paradise found. Paradise regained. No more curse. There's going to be perfect restoration. There'll be no more of the things that we dread. Disease, illness, death. Perfect restoration. The throne is there in their midst. There'll be a perfect administration. Not only will I, as today, I pray to God and I ask for things, but I'm going to be there with him in the midst of perfect administration. The servant shall serve, perfect subordination. We will be in our proper place where we need to be. We will understand who we are and what we are and how we are and how we serve God. We shall see his face. There will be a perfect transformation. We will see God in who he is. We will see Christ in who he is and understand who they are. The name on our forehead, there will be a perfect identification. There won't be any question about who is a part of the kingdom then. God is the light, the perfect illumination. There needs no other light but him. And we'll reign forever, perfect exaltation, reigning forever. Verses 6 and 7 talks about a trustworthy and true, and it begins where Jesus says, I am coming soon. Verse 6, and he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. An emphasis upon the words that you're receiving in Revelation are trustworthy and true. There's no doubt that God has given these words. Christ is putting his stamp of approval on the words that are being said in Revelation. And he goes on to say, and I am coming soon. Might say, I am coming quickly. But then you say, well, it's been a long time. What's he waiting on? And I've questioned that many times in my life. What is God waiting on? And all I can come up with is that one more person might come to know him. He delays because of us. He delays because of this world. He delays because he wants to see individuals come to know Christ. But the word can mean more suddenly. He is coming suddenly. He's coming quickly. He's coming without any delay or unnecessary delay, but he's coming because God desires for him to wait, and he's coming suddenly. Remember that back in the Gospels, it talks about he's coming quickly. He's coming suddenly. As a thief in the night, he's coming when no one expects him. And what is the emphasis of the Bible there? Be ready. Be ready. There's no second chance. When he comes, it's all over. When we die, it's all over. We must accept Christ now. And in verses 8 and 9, he says this, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. Now, John is pointing out he's the one that's writing all of this down. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down and worshiped at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. And he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and the prophets and with those who keep the words of the book. Worship God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, John's already been warned once in Revelation, and he does it again. Wonder why he does that. I think he's a whole lot like us. He is hearing God's word. He is hearing Jesus speak. He's hearing the angels speak to him. And he's just overwhelmed. And he falls down to worship an angel. And the angel says, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant just like you. Worship God only. And so many times we worship other things than God. And we put God as second in our lives. We should worship God and worship him only. And then in verses 10 and 11 come a warning to us. And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophet of the book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous do right. Let the holy still be holy. Make sure all the prophecies of this book is left open. Now, is Revelations a book that you just readily read every day? Probably not. There's a lot of things there that are hard to understand. So if I can't understand it, I'm not going to read it. It's the way I was in college. I couldn't understand my chemistry, so I didn't read it. That's a way to fail, too, isn't it? God tells us to read Revelations. And here in the last chapter, he's telling us some vital things that we need to know. And he says, don't hide this book. Make sure people read it. Make sure you read it. It's important. Now is a time to make a decision for Christ. Not later. If Christ is coming suddenly at a time that I don't know and you don't know and won't know until it happens, then I better be ready. And I better do something now to get ready. And there's no waiting. There'll be no time at the last minute. Jesus gave parables about that, didn't he? The 10 virgins that didn't have enough, 5 of them didn't have enough oil in their lamps. There was no place to get it when the time came. They didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming, but when Christ comes, it will be immediate. It will be suddenly, and there will be no time for last-minute repentance. No second chance. We have the chance when God speaks to us. Now look at verses 12 and 13. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am coming suddenly. I am coming quickly. I am coming with no warning. There's an urgency in Christ's voice as he speaks to us, as he speaks to the Revelator. Be ready. Matthew says, when you least expect it. When everything's going along just like you think it ought to, when you least expect it, Christ will return. And he'll gather his saints. So we must be ready. Then he says he has a reward. The reward is not for works of salvation. The reward is a living faith will have works in it. James talks about it. I think one of the most misread verses in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. I think we forget about 10 too much. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. It's clearly that we cannot work for salvation. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that he should walk in them. We were created and saved by grace in order to do ministry, in order to do work, in order to serve. So the rewards that Jesus is bringing here in Revelation are the rewards that are coming for those things that have happened in our lives since we have been saved. Now, if we've wasted our time, if we just bided our time, and the only thing we're looking forward to is heaven, and we haven't looked forward to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, throughout our lives, then there's not going to be any reward. So we need to be about God's business. It says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Crowning proof that Christ is deity. He is God. There's no doubt here. He says that himself. Jesus is Yahweh. Yahweh is an Old Testament term that means the Lord. It's taken from the verb to be, which means I am, I was, I will be, I will always be. It is a continuing. He is from Alpha to Omega, from the beginning to the very end. He is all of that. I, the Lord, am the first and the last, is what he says in Isaiah. If you've left Jesus out, then there's not going to be any manna. There's not going to be any water coming out of a rock. There's not going to be some refuge somewhere to get you out of the storm. There's not going to be a healing for your sickness. No life for your dead. If you leave Jesus Christ out of your life, it's gone. Jesus is the only way to salvation, to eternity with him. Verses 14 through 15, a blessing and a curse pronounced. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexual immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves the practice of falsehood. Now, some translations will say, instead of wash their robes, say, do his commandments. Now, there's a word there. It's about this long. And there's no way I could say it. I can't say the little word. But there are two words that are very similar. One says, wash their robe, and the other one says, do his commandments. What's the difference in the two? If I do his commandments, my robe has been washed. If I follow what Jesus has called me to do, my robes have been washed. There is no difference. It does not change the meaning of what's said there. Then it says, but outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and sexual, the immoral, the impure. That's outside of heaven. And it's not an idea that they're outside of heaven trying to get in. Because the only way in is through the gate. And he said that the saints come in by the gate because they've washed their robes. Then look at verse 16, another verse that Jesus is speaking. And Jesus brings verification to his words here. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus authenticates that the book of Revelations and all the Bible was sent to the church. It was sent to us. It is needful to us to be in the Word. Like Jared shared, reading the Bible through in a year, whether you read it through chronologically or how, that you read the Bible. You know, there's a famous saying I have, which is not originated with me, when all else fails, read the instructions. And also in Christians, they say, when all else fails, pray. Both those statements are wrong when it comes to Christianity. Before all else fails, get to the Word. Before all else fails, pray. Let God be your guide. You know, one of the greatest ways to work on something is with somebody who knows what they're doing, who knows how to do it. I used to get so upset because our washing machine pump would go out all the time because of those little old baby socks. They go over the top and get hung in that pump. Well, I'd have to hire somebody to come out and do it. And I told that guy the second time he came out, I said, I'm going to watch you. And I did. And it took me about three times as long, but the next time, I got it out. And then I got real smart. Find a mesh bag and put those cotton picking socks inside of it. And they can't go over the top. But it's so helpful in life to have somebody who helps you go through it. And Jesus never told us we had to do it alone. Jesus has always said, come, I'll help you. Come, I'll do it. So prayer and Bible study, seeking God's wisdom, is so very important. So he's the root and descendant of David. Now, how in the world does he do that? Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus is in Genesis. Jesus was the one who created David as he became king. But then Jesus became the baby and became the descendant of David, the creator of the king and the descendant. And he says he's the bright and morning star. This is a messianic reference in the Old Testament to the star that's coming. And in the New Testament, it's there as well. And Jesus is to welcome our new day just as the morning star does. And Jesus is to welcome us in. And then in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is probably, to me, some of the most important part of this passage. I think it's important to understand it all, but I think this way he says, the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take of the water without price. Who can come? Who can hear? Who thirst? And who desires? Have you heard? Have you heard the word of God? You can come. Have you thirsted after the things of God? You can come. Have you desired to know more of God? You can come. And you can receive what God has done for us. If we've heard, if we thirst, if we desire, then we need to come. We don't need to wait. We need to come. It's an open invitation to salvation. The Bible throughout is an invitation. But here in the last chapter, Christ is saying one more time, come. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come. I have what you need. And only by your coming can you receive that. The world's religions all say bring something to their God. Where in Christianity we say God invites you to take of the water freely. The water of life. Take of it freely. It's for you. I died to give it to you. You can't bring anything to be justified. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough. Your parents couldn't have been good enough. No way can you bring anything. The only way you can do is to take what he's given you. The salvation that's given through Christ. Drink freely of the water. The Bible focuses on come to Jesus. Come. Take of the water freely. In the verse 18 and 19, there's another warning. It says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life. And in the holy city, which are described in this book. It says you can't add or subtract. I meet people all the time who says, well, I think the Bible's a good book and I like this part, but I don't think that's not true over there. What does he say right here? You can't take any part away from it. It is either all God's word or it is none of God's word. It is all true or it is not true. You can't add to it. And so many religions today add what they want to add to it. We believe God's word. We believe the Bible. This is our guide to living. It's the instruction book. There is no thing that you or I can add, and there's no reason to take away? Are there some things I don't totally understand? Yes. Will I understand them someday? Yes. Will it matter then? No. Because I will be with God, and it says I will see his face, and I will know him. And all of this will be clear. I will understand why God waited. I'll understand why God did this. I will understand it all. But in this life, probably not. But you know, when you walked in this morning, were the lights on? Did any of you question why they were on? Any of you go check the switch to make sure it was right? No. We accepted it. And God has given us his love. He's given us his son. And we need to accept it. And here are his last words in verse 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, now this is Christ speaking, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Surely I am coming quickly. I am coming suddenly. I'm coming without warning. Surely, don't doubt it, he's coming. It's been a while since the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. But believe me, he's coming. And he's coming when you least expect it, when I least expect it. He's coming when God says, that's enough. Go. Get my children. And he's coming suddenly. And then it says, come, Lord Jesus. That's what we've said through the years, Maranatha. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. This should be our cry even every day. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want you to come. I desire for you to come. It is my worship and desire to be with you in heaven. Now, at my stage in my life, I look at that probably a whole lot more than some of you do. But I am anxiously awaiting eternity with God. I am anxiously awaiting for Jesus to come and take me home. Surely, I am coming suddenly. I am coming quickly. He wants us to be ready. And when we say, come, Lord Jesus, we're emphasizing that we are ready. And then the last part says, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. God's grace reigns over all. Several of the Gospels, not the gospel, but the letters that Paul wrote in this same way about grace be with you. Grace is a gift that God gives to us. The only part of the gift being given is you have to receive it. Now this last week as we celebrated Christmas, it's a great time of giving. You may have been disappointed with something you got, but I doubt if any of you gave it back. Grace is the greatest gift you could ever receive. Grace is the mercy that God has placed that gives us eternal life. That while we are yet sinners, even though we are corrupt, even though we are as a dog, even though we have nothing to offer, God died for us in Jesus Christ. And he gives us this gift of eternal life. And we can accept that. The last word of the Old Testament ends with a curse. Malachi 4:6. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. God was pretty upset with the earth. God's been upset with us a lot of times. I'm not so sure he's not upset with us today. In all the conflict, all the things that go on between us, even within the church. But then the New Testament ends with grace, describing God dealing with man on the basis of a new covenant. Come. Let's pray together. Father, you have invited us time and time again throughout your word. You tell us to come to you. There's nothing we can do, Lord, to purify ourselves. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves clean. There's nothing we can do to wash our robes. There's nothing we can do except accept you. We love you and we thank you for the gift of grace. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who gave everything so that we might know you. Father, I pray that if there be even one today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today they will come to you and accept Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray.